Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Our guest this week is David Kantorski from the Chicagoland area. He sells computers by day and plays trivia by night, and his expert categories are Pearl Jam, Tom Brady, 90s one-hit wonders, and Major League Baseball. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. All right, David, thanks for being here. Are you ready to begin your game?
I believe so, Dalton.
I'm really excited for this one because there's a couple of your categories I love. And unlike other episodes, felt like I kind of was a subject matter expert, and hopefully that will yield good questions for you.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for me. You know, if you like the topics, then they might be a little bit more tougher for me.
That may be the case. I do try to avoid pop culture questions written by Russ Fiedewald, so we'll see how you do with sports and music written by Dalton McGee. All right, well, you know the rules, David. Where do you want to begin your game? We'll explain these categories as we get to them today.
Yeah, I've always begged and looked for these questions. And I always write one every time I'm on a certain triviality podcast. I'm going to go Pearl Jam with the unlocked question.
All right. This is just a straight up Pearl Jam category. No shenanigans here. So your unlocked Pearl Jam question is this. Eddie Vedder has performed three times and sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game and number of others at what friendly ballpark? Home of his favorite Major League Baseball team.
You're going to make me say it.
I am.
However, it's probably the last ballpark I've been to when I saw them perform live back in October at Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Wrigley Field is correct. For those that are enjoying this through the audio medium, David's wearing a White Sox hat. So he did not love that, but he did get it correct. Yeah. And that's what's important. David, you have one key. Where are we going?
Let's continue on Pearl Jam. Key one.
All right. Your one key Pearl Jam question is this. While Neil Young was originally supposed to speak at Pearl Jam's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, it was instead what former late night host who joked that the entire balcony was full of Pearl Jam's former drummers?
Yeah, Neil Young had wanted to be there, but he choked on a harmonica, according to David Letterman, who joked that he met Neil Young on FarmersOnly.com. So it's David Letterman.
It is David Letterman.
And I wrote that question.
What was Neil Young doing to choke on a harmonica is the question I have.
That was what David Letterman said.
Yeah, we'll save that for the midnight show of Lockdown Trivia. Holy. All right. Two keys, both from Pearl Jam. Where are we going next?
Let's continue the category.
All right. Your two key Pearl Jam question is this. While Led Zeppelin never performed their Fool in the Rain live, Robert Plant did fittingly perform the tune with Pearl Jam at a benefit concert for what natural disaster in 2005?
2005 is making me think that might have been... Oh, that does make sense, Fool in the Rain. Is that Hurricane Katrina?
It is Hurricane Katrina. David said a step up in difficulty from the two or one key question, but he got it anyway.
Wow, yeah, that was big step.
All right. Three keys in your pocket. What's next?
My theory is Tim Dimple pointed this out. You get through one category, you close out the fours, and you work backwards. So I'm going to continue with Pearl Jam.
In theory, it works. Let's hope we keep getting them right. Your three key Pearl Jam question is this. Although Last Kiss was Pearl Jam's highest charting single in the U.S., peaking at number two on the Billboard Top 100, which of their songs actually won a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance?
Ooh. Best Hard Rock Performance. Their Grammy winner was... You're looking for the song, correct?
I'm looking for the name of the song that won the Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance.
And you don't give me a year, so I got to kind of decipher when that happened. It was early on. I want to say Daughter. If I'm wrong, I lose all the keys. I'm going to start again. Then I'm not perfect. The Grammy was early on. They were nominated this year, but they lost out to the Stones. And the joke was, they lost out to the Stones again. Eddie Vedder was sitting next to Billy Joe Armstrong. They said that was 25, 30 years. I'm going to stick with my guts and say Daughter.
Daughter is an excellent song, but it unfortunately is not the one that won the Grammy. The correct answer is Spin the Black Circle. Well, David, unfortunately, that is your first miss, and I will have to take all of your keys. But there is plenty to go on the board, so where are we going to go next?
Yeah, we're not going perfect. So let's see if you have any questions about perfect games in Major League Baseball.
Your unlocked Major League Baseball question is this. More people have walked on the moon than have scored during the postseason. On what closing pitcher? The last player to have worn a now universally retired number.
Would that number be the answer to everything in the universe? Also worn by a Mr. Jackie Robinson. I'm assuming this is Mariano Rivera.
That is correct. More people have walked on the moon than have scored against Mariano Rivera in the postseason. One of my favorite stupid baseball stats.
Yeah. My favorite stat was Dave Roberts scored on Mariano Rivera.
Nice.
In the postseason. Game 4 of the 04 ALCS. I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
All right. Speaking of other Daves, one of them has one key. What's he going to do with it?
Like I said, my theory is to run through a category and then get to the four keys and run that up and down. So we'll continue on Major League.
All right. Major League Baseball, one key question is this. If you took away all 755 of his home runs, what Major League Baseball Hall of Famer that passed away in 2021 would still have over 3,000 hits?
700 home runs kind of narrows it down a lot. You're talking Hall of Famer, and then you're also talking somebody that passed away fairly recent. I'm assuming this is Mr. Henry Aaron, or Hank Aaron, Hammering Hank, as we may know him.
That is correct. I think for me, the clue on that question is because I so heavily associate Bonds with 756. That 755 would have told me who did he beat. That's how I get on that question. I kind of forgotten that he'd passed away until doing a little research for the category, which was sad, but alas. Yeah,
I forgot about that as well. And I'm like, well, Babe didn't hit 7 and he didn't die in 2021. So
we'd be surprised if he did. All right, David, you got two keys. Are we going to continue your strat here?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Your two key Major League Baseball question is this. What St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer shockingly had exactly as many hits on the road as he did at home, with 1,815 each?
I've heard this stat before. And I'm just debating if I'm, like, overthinking this one or not. I believe this is Stan the Man. Mutual. If you need a last name. But before I locked in, I'm just thinking somebody else popped in the mind. It's not Albert Pujols because he went over to LA for a bit. Yeah, I'm gonna lock him with Mutual.
Known for his consistency, and Mutual is correct. Exactly 1,815, both home and away. Keys for Mr. Kantorski. Where will we go next?
Stick with Major League Baseball.
All right. Your three key MLB question is this. The Texas Rangers set a record by winning all 11 road games they played in the 2023 postseason. And the first letters of those defeated teams in order spell out road. Name those teams.
R-O-A-D.
Correct. And we're talking team names as in Cubs, not Chicago.
Okay. So I know the D is Diamondback because I was really hoping to see Arizona take the World Series that year. It's kind of worked this way backwards. It's one of two options. It's the A's or the Angels. In 2023, the A's kind of sucked. So I'm going to go with the Angels. If we're going through all those teams. I don't think I can name another team that starts with letter O, but Oreos. And while it is the Rangers, it kind of helps narrow this one down. I'm between two there. It's running through in my head, making sure I'm not missing something. Wait. Okay. So I'm going to change one of my answers. I'm going to go R is Rays for Tampa. O is Orioles for Baltimore. A is Astros in Houston. And D is Diamondbacks in Arizona.
I'm glad you made your change because you are now absolutely correct. That was the progression they made. Yes, the wild card against the Rays, the divisional against the Orioles, the championship series against the Astros, and the World Series against the Diamondbacks. And one of the great coincidences, that was their road victory path.
That is quite amazing, yes. I had to write that one down and give it a couple thoughts. So, and I'm like, the Red Sox weren't there in 23. And
when you said A's and Angels, I was like, well, we know it's not one of them.
All right, so, David, you are rolling through your Major League Baseball category. Do I know where we're going next?
Let's do Major League Baseball for four keys.
All right, your hypothetically hardest Major League Baseball question is this. At the time of his retirement in 2012, what left-handed pitcher, known for slow pitch speeds, had pitched to 9% of all MLB batters to have ever played?
Wow. Because I've seen this left-hander retired in 2012, and this is a bad thing, as I cannot ever determine. Like, I don't think about a pitcher being right or left-handed. Which hurts a bit in this category. 2012. He's got in the Hall of Fame in 2017. I'm assuming. I'm going through names, and I keep coming to that pitching staff in Atlanta from the 90s. And I think that's where we're going to have to go. So we just started in 92, had a long career, pitched to everybody. Randy Johnson fits in that category as well, but Randy Johnson's a right-hander, if I recall that pigeon video. I'm going to go Maddox and lock that in and be wrong.
Unfortunately, you are correct in that you are wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I had to do that to you. The correct answer here is Jamie Moyer.
There it is. Okay.
Slow, slower, and slowest is what he was known for in the pitch speeds. Unfortunately, I have to take your keys again, but your strategy has left you plenty of open space to play. Where are we going to go next?
You know what? That 90s one-hit wonders concept you gave me? That sounds like fun to try. So let's go ahead and jump in there and try that one.
All right. In this 90s one-hit wonders category, I will read the incorrect opposite title of a song. David will try to figure out what the real title is, and then the correct answer will be the artist of that song. So, for example, if my clue was, "You'll be here for me," the correct song opposite of that is, "I'll be there for you," and that would be by the Rembrandts. So, a little wordplay here in the 90s one-hit wonders. David, your unlocked one-hit wonders question is this. Nothing Against Me.
Oh, sorry, I'm writing this down so I can take a look at this. Because it's a one-hit. You got me to have to translate this, and now you got to have me figure out the artist. I think I have this as All For You, which initially made me think of John Michael Montgomery. And I swear, but that's because All For You or All For One covered it. So All For You. Well, I'm coming down to like two different answers, and neither of which are one-hit wonders in my mind. Because I keep getting this confused with the Three Musketeers and Bryan Adams and Sting and Rod Stewart. Because I can't get it out of my head. I'm going to go with it, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Color Me Bad.
All For You, as performed by Sister Hazel.
Oh!
Is the correct answer. All right. No keys still. Two options. We can head to Tom Brady, or we can go to our bonus questions, whatever you'd like to do.
Let's do Tom Brady.
All right. Tom Brady, straight up about him, nothing crazy here. Your unlocked question is this. The roast of Tom Brady wasn't the first time Nikki Glaser mentioned him on stage. She also made fun of what other NFL quarterback when she called him the Tom Brady of making commercials.
So you're looking for the other quarterback that she referred to as the Tom Brady of making commercials.
Correct.
I believe that is Peyton Manning.
That is Peyton Manning. Back in our winning ways here, and one key in our pocket.
Where are we going?
Continue Tom Brady.
All right. The one key Tom Brady question is this. Tom Brady actually wanted what number as a rookie? A continuation of his time at Michigan, but was stopped because the team's punter already had it.
Yeah, so if you think back to the days that he won the national championship with the Wolverines, he wore the number 10.
10 is correct. It's funny. I don't know the punter's name, but I do think it's probably funny for him nowadays that he can say he's the reason Tom Brady is not number 10. So there's that. Two keys. Where are we going?
Feels like a good category, so we'll continue.
All right. Your two key Tom Brady question is this. Tom Brady's son's full name is John Edward Thomas Moynihan, but he goes by what nickname that can also be found in the title of an Elton John song?
I don't know that he goes by this, but I always thought it was odd that Bridget named him Tom Edward Thomas, or John Edward Thomas, because those initials spell out a certain team that Tom Brady hates. And I would find it very funny and ironic that he goes by Jet. And Benny and the Jets is the name. So I'm going to go with Jet.
Oh, man, David. His nickname he goes by is Benny.
I had the song as well.
Yes, you did.
Oh,
man, so close on that one. I wonder if he did that. That's probably the same reason he goes by Benny. But
yeah,
unfortunately, the wrong half of that song title there. I have to take your keys, and we are going to go to bonus questions next. But the question is, which one of those do you want to tackle on first to get back into the regular rounds?
Win in the world.
I'll give you three events that happened. You'll tell me the exact year those occurred. Here they are. The Civil Rights Act is signed into law. Sprite is released as the newest product of Coca-Cola. The Flintstones air on television.
And I know my social studies teacher of a girlfriend is going to lambast me that civil rights is not something that I definitively know. I know it happened, but I couldn't tell you the exact year. Kind of going off the Flintstones, and I'm thinking that's 1963.
Final answer?
Final answer.
You are very close. Those things all happened in 1960.
60, okay.
Yep, Civil Rights Act of 1960 is what that is. No harm, no foul. Bonus questions can't hurt you. Which one would you like to go to next?
Let's see what you got up your sleeve for the National Blank Day.
All right, National Blank Day. As of recording, today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. So here's a question about that. Smucker's made PB&J easy in 1968. With what product that featured alternating vertical stripes of peanut butter and jelly in the same jar?
I don't know the name of it. I've used it. Peanut butter and jelly. That's the best I got.
The brand is Goober.
Yeah, no.
Goober is what that is called.
Would never have come up with that.
Fair enough.
Oh.
All right. Where to next?
I gotta get some points so I can get back to the questions there. Let's go deep cuts.
All right. In deep cuts, I will read you the title of five songs from the first album of a major band that was part of the genre you asked for, which was 90s alternative rock. So here are the five songs from that first album of that band. How Do You, Stop Whispering, Anyone Can Play Guitar, Vegetable, Blowout.
All of them are very generic. This is 90s alternative. You said it's a big band.
Yeah, this is definitely an undeniably big name.
And the album came out in the 90s?
Yes, it did come out in the 90s.
Well, initially I was thinking Green Day, but their first album came out in the 80s. And that's why I asked for the clarification.
Yes, this is an early 90s first album.
And it's probably sitting like right over there on the shelf.
I bet you anything it is.
Artist or album you're looking for, is it the same
just
thing?
Just the artist, and it is not the same thing in this case.
Okay. I meant to go look at albums a bit more, and I've been trying to, but I cannot. Nothing of these are triggering. I'm going to go with Collective Soul.
If I told you track two of this album, it would tilt you, I think. Track two is entitled Creep. This is Radiohead. This is actually Pablo Honey.
Oh, Pablo Honey, yes.
Yes, but Radiohead is the correct answer here. So, unfortunately, I think the deep cuts question for season two of Lockdown, I mean, the bonus questions are going to change, but deep cuts is definitely playing the hardest across the board. It is a challenging question, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, what's next?
Let's check out the Stormy Trivia.
Stormy Trivia is a question I think you'll know, and we'll see how that goes. Here it is. While they actually formed in 1980, What band from Essex can actually trace its origins to 1977 when two of the founding members formed a band called No Romance in China?
Maybe a recent concert I've been to. Because that's you said Essex. That's exactly where I went. Is this Depeche Mode?
Depeche Mode is correct.
He got
the bonus question. He needed to get back in the game. All right, you've got one key again. What are we going
to
do with it?
Got to get to the 90s one-hit wonders.
All right, 90s one-hit wonders for one key. Here's the opposite of the song title. Sweet, bitter, soloist.
Sweet, bitter, soloist. Sweet and bitter. It almost sounds like those are the opposites of themselves. So bittersweet symphony. Okay, there it is. Bittersweet symphony. That is the verve, and not to be confused with the verve pipe.
Correct. It is the verve. Yes. Bittersweet symphony is my take on the opposite of sweet bitter soloist there.
Yeah, that's what threw me. Like, wait a minute. Those are opposites. So.
Two keys for the one hit wonders next, I assume?
Yes.
Or you could take the bonus question, try to get it, and jump to Tom Brady instead. Those are really the two ways you could do this.
No, I'm going to stick with the 90s.
All right. Your 90s one-hit wonder for two keys. Take You On Your Way.
Send Me On My Way by Rusted Root.
That one didn't take much thinking at all there.
I went to go right now. Like, wait, take me up. What? Okay.
Or as my generation refers to it as the Ice Age song.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Nah, the look, everybody, I want you to know the look I just got from David. He did not appreciate that take. All right, you've got three keys in your pocket again. What are we going to do with them?
Let's go the three key one hit wonder.
All right, one hit wonders for three keys. Is this Celibacy and Healthy Food?
That sounds like Sex and Candy. Is that Marcy's Playground?
It is Marcy's Playground, yes. Oh, man. That one was the one that made me chuckle of all of them. Not going to lie.
You really celibacy, and I'm like, what? Oh.
All right, with the Marcy's around. Playground, so, you now have four keys, which opens up a little bit what you could do here. What do you want to do with them?
I want that Pearl Jam four-key question, please.
All right, back to Pearl Jam. The full circle here. Your four-key Pearl Jam question is this. Pearl Jam formed after the demise of Stone Gossard and Jeff Ament's previous bands. Name either of those bands.
Are we talking about Green River, who dispersed, became Mother Love Bone? Or Mother Love Bone, who after Andrew Wood died, became, did a one-off project of called Temple of the Dog, which, by the way, is not a band. It's just a one-off album that Eddie Vedder is not a part of. He only guest vocaled on. Did I give you enough there?
I don't know, folks. What do you think? Did he answer that one sufficiently? Yes, so. We'll say that correct. And I'm glad to know that I was all over this. Green River and Mother Love Bone were the two I would have accepted, but not Temple of the Dog, because that is not a band. So right. Correct on your hardest Pearl Jam question, proving your expertise in that category. And now we're at the point where we're going to answer until we drop here. Mm-hmm. We have that one extra bonus question at the end, but we will not have enough keys to get back into the category. So pick the questions you feel best in now.
Let's go the 90s one-hit wonders for four keys.
All right. 90s one-hit wonders for four keys. Return Your Moonlight.
I believe I was sitting on the park on the bench last week. And I was thinking about this. Oh, you need the band, right?
I need the band.
Yeah, because you're going to steal my sunshine on this one. Len.
Len is correct. Len. Well done. That was not one I would have pulled simply because of the fact that I don't know anything about that band. So
he's a Yankees fan, at least wore a Yankees hat. It's a fun video. So.
Cool. I'll check that one out.
Yeah.
All right. You are rolling. I'm not going to lie. I was worried about you there in the middle of the game, and now you have hit a stride. So what are we going to do next?
Let's get that Tom Brady three. How many keys do I have?
Enough. Plenty. So, you can answer either of these or both of them if you get the first one right.
Okay, so I need one to answer the other, but it doesn't matter either which way. Let's build up to it. Let's do the three-key Tom Brady.
Tom Brady for three keys is this. No team has a winning record against Tom Brady, but one has a 9-9 record and another has a 2-2 record. Both of these teams have won at least three Super Bowls. Name either team.
2-2 and 9-9?
Yes.
And just against Tom Brady, not like Tom Brady and the Pats. Or...
In totality against Tom Brady, only two teams are at 500. And they both have at least three Super Bowls.
Sitting here going, can I list off all the Super Bowl winners? Because I don't think it's the Rams. The Falcons never won. The Saints don't have three. Those are three that like popped in my mind. I think the Dolphins got to be up there. Tom always sucked playing in Miami. I know they had back-to-back in the 70s. Assume they won somewhere else. Now we're looking for a team that's gone 2-2 versus them. So that means it's probably more an NFC. That might as well be the Niners, I'm thinking. I don't think the Cowboys did it. The Eagles don't have three. The Skins, I don't think, did it. The Commanders. Bears don't have three. Packers might be an option. It's not the Vikings, not the Lions. We looked at the Bucks, Saints, the Falcons, Panthers, none of them. The Hawks, the Cardinals, the Niners, and the Rams. And that 9-9. Let's go with the Miami Dolphins and the San Francisco 49ers.
You needed to name either of them, and you did. With the San Francisco 49ers. So you got your question correct. Lots of good thinking there. Now, I am a Miami Dolphins fan, and so it was tickling a little bit that you were praising our performance against Tom in Miami, which is true. However, our record against them is okay compared to most teams, but we've only won two Super Bowls. And the team that went 9-9 against him career is the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
But you got your 49ers get. Good job on that. That will get you the question. And up next... actually, it doesn't matter which order we do it. Would you like your four-key Tom Brady or your before and after question next?
Let's do the Tom Brady four-key.
All right. Closing out the category, here it is. Of the many wild Tom Brady stats, one of the wildest is that Tom Brady won how many Super Bowls before he finally lost his first playoff game?
So I know he won three right away. 02, 04, 05. Next time back, they lost to the Giants. So he would have won three Super Bowls. Before he lost a playoff game. Because that's what you're looking for, right?
How many Super Bowls did he win before he lost a playoff game?
Yeah, three Super Bowls.
Very well done, David. That is correct.
Making me second guess myself. I was like, damn.
I just got to make sure people believe it's their final answer. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get you.
So. All right. Well, after a challenging middle of the game, you had a wonderful comeback. A huge streak toward the end. And now we're going to have our before and after question to end it. So let's see what your final score will be. Here's your before and after question. Clue, rather. I keep calling them questions. The South American country that is the third largest cocaine producer in the world and who expelled the U.S. ambassador in 2008 releases massive pop hits such as Good For You and Traitor in 2021.
Good For You. And what was the other song?
Traitor.
Traitor. I believe that's Olivia Rodrigo. That's before and after. So I need a, so we're looking for a South American country that does a lot of coke. Initially I was singing Colombia, but that's not going to get to Olivia, right? Colombia, Olivia Rodriguez.
Correct answer to this one is Bolivia Rodrigo.
There it is. Okay.
There it is. David, 17 points is your lockdown score, your first time on today. That's a good score, and I always make sure folks remember, this is a decently difficult game, and 17 out of 25 is an excellent score.
Yeah, and I beat Chris Brewer, so ha-ha, Chris!
Oh, man. Well, aside from the shout-out to making sure Chris knows you beat him by two, do you have anything going on, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, Tuesdays. I host trivia at a place called Cordial Inn in Brookville, Illinois. Small little company that I don't know if anybody has heard of. We're called Liquid Courage. That's Courage with a K. We also do some live streaming events in other places. So do check us out on Linktree at Liquid Courage with a K. Beyond that, I always promote my usual drink local, play local. And I'm going to start saying watch local. Get out, support your high school teams, your Little League baseball. Don't be that creeper, but there's still some great baseball without having to pay hundreds of dollars to go to see a major league game. Support your minor league teams, things like that.
So. Awesome. A great message. And I look forward to finally getting to play a Liquid Courage game in person sometime soon when I get up to the Chicagoland area. So. All right. Thank you, David. And I'll see you next time.
Of course. We'll see you.
Thanks again, David, for coming and playing Lockdown Trivia. I'm glad you could come represent Liquid Courage so well, and I hope the other Liquid Courage folks come down and play Lockdown Trivia as well. I want to point out, David did very well in his expert categories. He got 4 out of 5 questions correct in all of those, and that hasn't always been the case. Additionally, he got every single question on the board unlocked, so I have to write an extra bonus question for this episode because he got to all of them. The bonus questions, speaking of them, were where the struggle was in this game, and it was interesting to see it play out that way. I think these bonus questions, in terms of what the purpose of them is to provide a cushion for folks, but some of them have played very easy, some of them have played very hard, and I'm trying to find the ethos of what I want them to be. Are they supposed to be hard because they're free? Are they supposed to be a little easier to get you back on your ways? In this game, they played harder. And to be perfectly transparent, I don't really know yet what the best option for that is, and welcome any feedback from my guests. And I asked them at the end of the episodes, you know, what they thought of it. But I think it just happened to play a little harder this round. Deep Cuts plays very hard in general for every episode. It's very challenging for those early albums that bands and artists have, the songs you don't remember or don't think of, even though Creep is on the same album. If you haven't listened to Pablo Honey in a while, you probably do not think of those other songs. Stormy Trivia, I do a little bit of digging on those. He was thankfully able to figure out that what I knew about him had to have come from his time on Tangents. When he talked about what concerts he had been to recently, Depeche Mode was one of them, and that's sort of how he sussed that out. Before and After was a particularly challenging one, inspired by a question I heard a friend of mine write, where the answer was Bolivia Newton-John. I knew I had to kind of, you know, pay homage to that and do a little Bolivia Rodrigo, because that is maybe not the traditional before and after where a word is shared, but it absolutely is a before and after. So I think this episode was a good reflection on what is the purpose of bonus questions. And as we move forward, I guess you'll find out where we land. Thanks again, David, for being here. Our bonus question from this game comes from the 90s One-Hit Wonders category, and it is this. You Hate Me, Never, Temporarily. While you think over that, I want to thank David one more time for being on Lockdown Trivia and invite you to join for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia. You can sign up with the link in the description of each episode. You'll need 4 expert categories and your favorite music genre. The correct answer to that 90s one-hit wonder clue is Donna Lewis, I Love You Always Forever. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back wherever you get your podcasts for some more Lockdown Trivia fun. My name's Dalton McGee, and I've been your host. I can't wait to continue to research, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to learn as we unlock your brain one key at a time. You can see my theme here in this category is kind of those like really ignorant truths of baseball. That's kind of what's happening.
That's fine. You read the question. I knew the answer. Just made sure I had to unlock it.
Not what my trivia teammates do. They yell things out immediately. And then we have to argue with each other for the next 30 seconds. That's kind of our team strategy.
If I'm playing with somebody, yes, that's how I play. But this is a podcast.